chapter 26. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, which is slightly different to the NIV or the New English Bible, or indeed the Bible we have here in the church, because it includes some words that really are very pertinent for what I have to say this morning. It's the Song of Salvation. It is a song. It's written by the prophet Isaiah, and who was about 700 years before Christ, not only speaks of the first advent of Christ, but also the second advent as well. And this is a song of salvation, or a song of triumph. And I think in these days, with so many people saying so many different things about what the future might hold, it's good that we have the Word of God that speaks to us today. So I hope that your hearts and minds are open to this scripture. So from verse 1 of Isaiah 26. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and for bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high. The lofty city, he lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright. You weigh the path of the just, yes, in the way of your judgments. O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly. We'll leave it there for a moment. It is a psalm, or it is a prophecy of Isaiah that really compares the world system that we live in, and God's kingdom that we are part of. And it's about being in the world, but not of it, and having our minds set on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we're now going to worship the Lord. Lord, I lift me not. But there was some just music on there, and some reminders that, particularly that reference that we read in Colossians, that God in us, the hope of glory, or Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when I was listening this morning, it just reminded me how easy it is to forget that we have God in us, the Spirit in us, that hope of glory. And no matter what politicians might promise us, we have the hope of glory in our hearts. And when we receive more of his Holy Spirit, it would appear that we understand that even more, to know that we are in God, we're safe in God, and we have him in our hearts. And that we have our minds set on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And all these things we find in Scripture enable us to lift ourselves beyond where we are into that presence of God, that assurance that God is for us, and who can be against us, as Paul says in Romans. We're just going to sing "As the Deer Pants for the Water." I don't know whether you've been following what's been happening the last few weeks. The manifestos that have been brought out, or contract if you are a Reform follower, and a synopsis of all of them, if you do read them, One thing is clear in what they say is they have a plan for the future. And it reminded me of a saying, of a phrase that has been well documented in the past: the future is now. And it's a popular idea that the present moment is an opportunity to plan your future and your desire the way you want. But it also reminds me that whatever the future is, today is all we have. That's all we have, and how we face today and whatever today brings forth is what we have, for yesterday is gone. And you know, when we get to tomorrow, it in fact will be today. Jesus said, "Seek first, therefore, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." How true that is. And I think we do get caught up in our lives with planning for tomorrow. What I will do tomorrow. What I have to face tomorrow. What's happening next week or the week after. Today is all we have. And today is the most important day of our lives. And it's quite interesting, as Isaiah was writing, and I would dare say that what was happening in the days of Isaiah is exactly what's happening in our day as well. So it is relevant. Isaiah was speaking to Israel and Judah at a crucial time in their history, and I believe that we are in a very crucial time in the history of this nation. And what we do on July the 4th is so important as Christians, to choose what God is saying, whom we shall choose. And it was a crucial time for Israel and Judah. Up the north, Israel was just turned into wickedness under Jeroboam. And then Judah had an outward profession of faith, but inwardly they had nothing inside them. They had a sense of prosperity that all would be well, but God was not present. And I think that's where we are today. And I don't want to be too negative about this, but there was one article that I read, and it was a result of what some young people in particular were getting up to. They're saying it's as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. I think, you see, where we lose our identity, when we lose the sovereignty of God and the image of God, we lose our sense of direction and godliness. And I think whatever politician comes forward to lead our nation, whatever prime minister he is, no doubt he's promising prosperity, that things will only get better. But spiritual apathy, I think, will continue unless there's massive changes in our nation. Unless there's a voice in our nation that speaks for God. Proverbs 14 says this: "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a shame to all its people." How true that is today. We might be prosperous. We might be promised tax cuts or even not. I don't know. But unless God is center, unless righteousness exalts this nation, it will be just like any other nation over the centuries, particularly Israel and Judah. Now, I know this is a day for healing and wholeness, and I know that it's our focus is very much in our minds, but where our minds are determines what our focus is. And in a sense, in this song of Isaiah, if we had time, I'd like to read the whole chapter, but chapters 24 and 25 are very similar. It's a song that just describes the God who brings righteousness and justice into the situations that people face. And in the midst of that, I think Isaiah brings comfort to the believer. And it's that's what we want to hear today, is comfort for the believer in a world where we can't change what's going on, but we can live with what's going on in God's word. The uncertainty and the confusion that people are living in is rife. And this spiritual decline is giving consideration to a future of uncertainty. And this is what Isaiah is saying. He says, in that day, this song will be sung. And of course, he's speaking of the second advent of Christ, because when Christ comes in his millennial reign, then of course there will be peace. There will be that sense of well-being. There will be balance in our lives. But until that time, there is a day, and it's today that Isaiah particularly refers to. This song that speaks not only of the day of when Christ will come, but the day that we're living in. Today is the day, the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you've got your Bibles there, you'll notice that he says, we have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for the walls and for the bulwarks. You know, we have a strong city. And if we look at an allegorical interpretation, we do have safety in God. The believer is safe in God, no matter what the future holds, no matter how uncertain and how confused it might be out there. We have the safety that God is sovereign, hallelujah, that God knows what he's doing, that God is on his throne. And we may not see that in our world, but we know it because his word says so. You see, that's the beauty of being a believer. That our minds don't get caught up with all the things that are around us. We don't and we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. For today has got enough troubles of its own. I was reminded of another proverb in Proverbs 18 verse 10 that says this: the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. They are secure. We sing that. I think there's a song about that. We come to God, who is our refuge and our strength. Our ever-present help is always there with us. You see, our security is in this strong city. Of course, this alludes to Jerusalem, but in our own lives, we have that strong city, the city of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of righteousness. And our security is not in our unwavering faith, but in the unwavering faithfulness of God. He remains consistent. He is constant. He is our safety. And the second thing is, and I love this, and no doubt you have quoted it many times, verse 3, and I've used this interpretation because I think it's better than what's in the NIV, but that's personal. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. Perfect peace. Oh, if we could have perfect peace, people say. If only I had time for a little bit of peace and put my feet up. Well, we know that sort of peace is wavering. It comes and it goes. And it's a peace that is dependent on circumstances at the time. But surely what God is saying to us is that perfect peace is what God keeps us in. It's interesting in the Hebrew, where you have a repeat of perfect peace, it means shalom, shalom, which of course is great emphasis on the word peace. Shalom means health, it means happiness, it means well-being, it means a satisfied heart. And whether we suffer with grief or illness or uncertainty, or mind issues. We have this promise that God will keep us in perfect peace if we trust in his refuge, in his strength, in his presence alone. You will keep him in perfect peace, says God, whose mind is stayed on you. It's an old-fashioned word, that stayed, but it means fixed on him. Seems to me, everywhere we see in Scripture, God is calling his people to look to him. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who endured the cross and its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God in heaven, to consider him, that we will not grow weary or lose heart. So many Christians are losing heart today. So many Christians are tired and weary, battle weary, because the enemy wants us to be so weakened that he can have his way. And yet we find, as we fix our eyes on God, that we can have that perfect peace no matter what happens this week. We wake up Friday morning and something's happened and it doesn't agree with your political persuasion. We live in perfect peace because God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And I want you to notice where he says, you will keep him. You see, so often, even as believers, our minds do wander. Our minds wander on so many different things, particularly when things are tough. And no doubt for poor Anne at the moment, it really must be tough for her. And your situation may not be the same, but similar feelings emotionally about having your minds fixed on him. And he will keep us there. He promises to do that. You see, the devil attacks the mind. Even now, the devil might be attacking your mind. Maybe you're just thinking of Sunday roast. I don't know, but maybe not. And how the mind can cause us to think the worst. I made a note here. If we keep thinking the worst, we will become worse for thinking about it. What are we fixing our minds on? What's important to us? What is it we can't wait to see happen in our lives? Is it the glory of God? Is it revival? Is it for our family to be saved? Is it for the church to grow? When we look at Genesis 3, we see how the serpent, the devil, was more cunning than any other beast that God had created. And the one thing he did to Eve at that time was he fed her doubt. Has God said this? Will God do this? You know, that's the voice of the enemy. Are you good enough? Are you able enough? Are you righteous enough? Are your prayers getting through? When our minds are fixed on him, when he keeps us in that focused position, then the enemy can't hang around. Submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee. He has to escape when we submit our minds and our hearts to God. I love the words of Paul in Philippians 2 when he speaks about the church having the same consolation, the same comfort, the same love for one another. And consider others better than yourselves, if only that were the case in most cases. He says this, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Have we the mind of Christ? I'm ashamed sometimes things that come out of my mouth, and Margaret would be the first to underscore that. But it's very easy to say things according to the way we're thinking at any one time. Let this mind be in you. It is something that we have to allow God to do for us as we focus more on his word, to see how Jesus turned the other cheek, went the extra mile. All these things that Jesus set out come to the fore when we consider our minds, fixing our minds on Jesus. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Set your minds on things above. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve God's will for your life. The mind is so important, friends, to have our minds stayed on him, and he will keep us. He will keep us. He will hold us there as we focus on him. I remember what Trevor said some months ago about the saying, was it too heavenly minded, no earthly use? And he said how wrong that was. To be heavenly minded, we can be of earthly use. We can have our focus in the right way. So on this day, as we trust in him, as we trust him forever, we are reminded of the verse the Lord gave us not too long ago, to trust in the Lord with all our heart, to lean not on our own understanding in all our ways. How does it go? And he will direct our paths. So the future is now. This present moment of opportunity enables God in his fullness to direct us from where we are. It's not our desires, but it's what he desires. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, O Lord. Is that where our mind is? Amidst a society of godlessness and confusion and apathy, much similar to what Isaiah was writing all those years ago, we have a strong city, salvation secure in the things of God. But God will keep us in perfect peace as we fix our eyes on him and allow our minds to be focused on what God has to say in these coming days. And we pray that as we look to him for our future, for our existence in days to come, that we might trust him as we look to him this day and forever. Amen.